Welcome to another deep dive. This time we're going to be looking at something really special. We're going to be talking about the future of education in Zimbabwe, and we're going to be using a very interesting source to do that. It's the Shasha 100 Letter Project.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this project is a collection of letters written by young people in Zimbabwe, sharing their experiences and hopes for the future of education.
Wow. So instead of hearing from like the usual experts and policymakers, we're going straight to the source.
Exactly. And the thing is, these letters are just packed with insight. We've got a world champion cyclist who's studying astrophysics.
Really?
Yeah. We've got a student who chose to homeschool so they could pursue their athletic dreams. And we even have someone who's completely redefining what it means to be a good student.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. We're going to be hearing how they challenge stereotypes, how they advocate for change, and what solutions they offer to the hurdles that they face.
What I find really interesting about this project is that it's not just a bunch of anecdotal stories. I mean, they're personal and they're powerful, but they also reveal these common themes that are echoing like a global conversation about what 21st century education should actually be.
Yeah. And that's what makes this deep dive so fascinating. We're not just talking about Zimbabwe here. These are conversations that are happening all over the world. So I think the first theme that really jumped out at me was this idea of breaking free from that traditional mold of success. You know, the whole doctor, lawyer, engineer path. These letters just completely flip that script.
Oh, yeah. Like take Prince Chakanyuka.
Yeah.
He faced all this pressure to pursue medicine.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like the epitome of success in his community.
Mm.
But he just said no. He went his own way.
Yeah. He showed everyone that success doesn't have to look the same for everyone. And that's so important.
Totally. It reminds me of Kusiva Malwire. He actually holds the national record for ordinary level exams. He got like 18 A's.
Yeah.
Incredible. But you might think, oh, he's just a bookworm. But no. He's a champion debater. He's a quiz whiz. And he's super involved in community work. This guy does it all.
He's a rock star.
I know, right? But, you know, these examples highlight this really crucial point. Like, academic excellence is not the only measure of success.
Right.
And Gitiva, he's a perfect example of this. He's really embodied this shift toward a more holistic definition of success, one that values diverse talents and passions.
Which makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Like, the world is changing so rapidly.
Right.
And employers are looking for people who are not just book smart, but can actually apply that knowledge creatively and collaboratively in real world situations.
Exactly. You need both. You need that knowledge base, but you also need to be able to work with others and think outside the box.
And that's where our second theme comes in. The power of soft skills and hands-on learning. We're talking communication, critical thinking, resilience, all those skills that allow you to adapt, collaborate, and tackle problems in the real world.
You know, it's interesting. Those skills, the ones that people call soft skills,
mm-hmm.
they're actually in super high demand by employers all over the world.
Really?
Yeah. The research shows that companies are now prioritizing these abilities alongside the traditional qualifications. It's not just about what you know. It's about how you use it, how you work with others, and how you deal with challenges.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And there are some great examples of this in the letters, like Tino Petros. He realized that while rote memorization got him good grades, it didn't actually prepare him for the real world. You know, the stuff that happens after high school.
I can see that.
Yeah. And his story, it kind of highlights the limitations of a system that's too focused on exams and memorization, a system that sometimes forgets about these essential soft skills.
So what's the solution? I mean, how do we move beyond rote learning?
Well, we need to provide more practical hands-on experiences, things like project-based learning, community engagement, even internships or apprenticeships. These give students a chance to apply what they've learned in a real-world setting.
So they can learn by doing, basically.
Exactly. They can learn from their mistakes, they can navigate real-world challenges, and they can develop those essential soft skills that everyone's looking for.
I like it.
It's about giving students the knowledge and the practical skills they need to thrive in a world that's constantly changing. I think that's what these letters are really saying.
And that's a really powerful message. You know what really strikes me is that these letters aren't just saying, hey, we need change. They're actually showcasing this incredible resilience and determination of these young people who are already taking charge of their own education and just making things happen.
It's amazing. These students are facing like some pretty serious challenges. They're dealing with limited resources, societal pressures, and sometimes even just skepticism for the people around them. But they're not just talking, they're doing.
They're definitely doing. Like, take Natambezoto Wamakiana. She grew up in an environment where You know, girls were often expected to just follow a traditional path, marriage, family, and that's it. But she was like, no way.
Yeah, she really defied those expectations.
She balanced her schoolwork with family responsibilities, even worked in the markets to help pay for her education. Talk about dedication.
It's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's pursuing a career in medicinal chemistry. She wants to help improve healthcare standards in Zimbabwe.
Right.
It's like her journey really speaks to the importance of creating this educational environment where people can pursue their dreams, you know, regardless of what society expects of them or where they come from.
And it's not just about personal ambition either. A lot of these students are really passionate about making a difference in their communities.
Absolutely. They're not waiting for someone else to fix things. Yeah. They're taking action.
Like Eugene Jamu. He's an engineer, yeah. And he actually founded this robotics and electronics startup right there in Zimbabwe.
Wow.
Yeah. And in his letter, he's like this call to action for young Africans. He's telling them to take control of their destinies, use their skills to solve problems. He even says this one line that just stuck with me. He's like, help is not on its way. You are on your own. When you know this, you can plan better.
I love that. It's such a powerful message.
It really is. It's like a wake-up call. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you got to just take ownership and make the change yourself.
It's about being proactive.
Mm.
And it's not just about these grand gestures. It's also about recognizing the value of individual initiative, being resourceful.
Totally. Like Tafadzwa Marumbetsa, he went to this rural boarding school. And he could have easily seen that as a disadvantage. I mean, being in a remote location. But he turned it into an advantage.
How did he do that?
He got super involved in community service. He took on leadership roles. And all of that experience actually helped him get a scholarship to study abroad in the U.S.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it really highlights an important point. Like, talent exists everywhere.
Yeah.
And sometimes those limitations, they can actually spark some serious creativity and resourcefulness.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that opportunity shouldn't be limited by where you're from or what your circumstances are.
It's having a proactive mindset. Seeking out those opportunities, pushing boundaries, not letting anything hold you back.
I like.
And while individual initiative is super important, these letters also really emphasize the value of finding your tribe, so to speak, like surrounding yourself with people who inspire you, who challenge you, who support you.
I think that's crucial.
Yeah. Like Kusiva Mawire, the guy with the incredible academic record, he credits a lot of his success to his network of friends and mentors. They encouraged him to pursue his passions. And it just shows you the power of having that support system.
Right. It's about creating environments where students can connect with like-minded people, you know, people who push them to grow and reach their full potential.
It's like having a team behind you.
And it's not just about receiving support. It's about giving back to mentoring others, creating this culture of collaborative learning.
It's about building a community.
Yeah, where everyone's supporting each other.
Like Shanbukurai Chuswa, she faced a ton of rejections when she was applying to universities abroad, but she kept going. And she had her network to thank for that. They were there for her every step of the way.
I can see how that would make all the difference.
It shows how important a strong support system is, especially when you're dealing with the challenges and setbacks.
These stories are really reminding us that education is not this solo journey. You need that support.
It's about creating this ecosystem where students feel comfortable taking risks, learning from their mistakes, and pushing through those challenges.
It's about belonging.
Exactly. And as we get further into these letters, we start to see this interesting tension between tradition and innovation.
Oh, how so?
Well, on one hand, you have students like Michaela Mapoteringa. She's all about the value of boarding schools, you know, that sense of community, the discipline, the focus.
That's interesting, because we don't hear that a lot these days with the rise of personalized learning and online education.
Right. But it's a good reminder that those traditional structures, they can still be valuable. They provide stability and a sense of community that some students really thrive in.
It's about finding what works best for each individual.
Exactly. And then you have stories like Rufaro Shirewa's. She chose to homeschool. She wanted more flexibility, a learning environment that would allow her to pursue her athletic dreams.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And it highlights this growing demand for educational pathways that are more tailored to individual needs and aspirations. It's like that one-size-fits-all approach, it's not always the best way to help everyone reach their potential.
Right. Everyone learns differently.
And then you have Tukudzwa Kaitano. He goes even further. He's like, we need to completely rethink the education system. He thinks it's way too focused on rote learning and standardized testing. It's neglecting critical thinking, problem solving, you know, that sense of purpose.
He makes a good point. There's a difference between schooling and learning.
Right.
It's not just about going through the motions. It's about fostering this genuine love for learning, giving students the skills they need to succeed in a world that's constantly demanding adaptability and innovation.
It's about being a lifelong learner.
Exactly. And, you know, all of this ties into another really important theme that emerges from these letters, the importance of student voice and agency.
Oh, yeah. They want to be heard.
They want to have a say in their education.
They're not just passive recipients of knowledge. They're active agents of change.
And the Shasha 100 Letter Project has given them this incredible platform to share their stories, their ideas, their dreams.
It's sparking a conversation that could really change things.
I hope so.
And it's not just about policies or curriculum. It's about a fundamental shift in how we think about education.
How we value learners.
And how we support them on their individual journeys.
It's about building a system that recognizes each student's unique talents and potential. A system that empowers them to be critical thinkers, problem solvers, engaged citizens.
That's a vision I can get behind.
Yeah.
You know, as we're wrapping up this deep dive into the Shasha 100 Letter Project, I can't help but feel this overwhelming sense of optimism. I mean, these young people, they've clearly faced some real challenges, but their belief in themselves and their dedication to making things better, it's just inspiring.
It really is. They're not just sitting around waiting for change to happen. They're out there making it happen.
They're starting businesses, advocating for social justice, pursuing their passions with this incredible tenacity. It's like their energy, their willingness to challenge the status quo. It's a beacon of hope.
It really is. It reminds us that these young people aren't just the leaders of tomorrow. They're the change makers of today.
And the Shasha 100 Letter Project, it's given them this platform to share their stories and their insights and their dreams.
Right. It's ignited this conversation that has the potential to really transform education.
And it's not just about like tweaking policies or changing the curriculum. It's about this fundamental shift in how we view education, how we value learners, how we support them on their individual journeys.
It's about building a system that sees each student's potential and helps them nurture it. A system that empowers them to be critical thinkers, problem solvers, engaged citizens.
It's about creating a world where everyone has the opportunity to thrive regardless of their background or their circumstances. And that's a vision worth fighting for.
Absolutely. It's a vision we should all be striving for.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with a challenge.
Okay.
What one small action can you take today to support a young person's education? Could be mentoring a student, volunteering at a local school, donating to an organization that's working to improve education access. Every little bit helps.
Right. Every effort makes a difference.
Remember the future of education. It's not something that just happens to us. It's something we create together.
By listening to young people, valuing their perspectives, and supporting their dreams.
We can build a world where every learner has the chance to succeed. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the future of education. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep diving deep.